I hope you're becoming a selling machine. You're seeing an increase in your numbers, that you're watching your numbers. Let's get back into it. Resistant-free selling, how to influence without rejection or resistance. Today, we're going to focus on a power tool called story selling. You've heard it before. Facts tell, stories sell. But very few people have really mastered the ability to tell a good story. Stories are critical to your success. Stories draw your audience in, and they help an audience understand and appreciate your message. I know we could all think of a time when we're in an audience and we weren't paying attention to the speaker or to the presenter or to the salesperson. We were in our own world, and all of a sudden we perked up and started to listen because the speaker had shifted to a story. You stop and think about it, the best persuaders, the best salespeople are the best storytellers. They have a story for every situation. They have a story to answer every question. When we hear a story, we automatically tune in and want to know what happens next. What's the research show? We know as humans we are drawn to anything that gives us answers. Stories help your audience, help your prospects answer some of their own questions. And you know when they can answer their own questions, help them persuade themselves, they're much easier to sell and there's much less resistance. Charismatic presidents use nearly twice as many metaphors than non-charismatic presidents. They look at the studies, they look at the speeches, and we know that speeches or presentations with metaphors are judged as more inspirational to the audience. And a metaphor is kind of a small story, a very, very small story. We know stories can grab attention, create involvement, simplify complex ideas, and persuade without detection. We'll talk about that. And statistically, when you look at stories, they will connect with more people than facts, numbers, examples, or even testimonials. For example, when I first got into the world of sales, I went to this large telemarketing floor, getting on the phone. My friend told me, come on in, take a look at it. People are making a lot of money. And I walked in and noticed all these people in there. And I said to myself, oh, these people don't seem that sharp. If they can do it, I can do it. And so I got the job. I got in there and wow, I was the one that wasn't sharp. They were making 10 times more money than me. And I know you've met people out there that are making 10 times more money than you're making, and you say to yourself, what do they have that I don't have? So I'm on the phone, and it was a type of call center where the operator would call you up and give you a number, and you look at, it'll be tax liens or real estate or weight loss. I mean, there's a variety of very, very different products. And I found out that I was making a lot of friends but not selling much. In fact, I was connecting with this lady. We were talking about the product, and I mean, just really connected. And she found out it was my birthday and sent me a birthday card. I'm thinking, I don't need your birthday card. I need a credit card here. Help me out. And then this gentleman called me up. Operator gave me the number. I looked it up. It's weight loss. So I was going to build the pain. Yeah, they teach you to build the pain. How many pounds overweight are you? And how many diets have you tried? And got all the information. Then he stopped me and said, what's this got to do with real estate? I'm like, whoa. Just want to make sure our real estate investors are healthy. That's all. Anyway, I tell that story to illustrate a couple different things, that sometimes people out there that could really sell don't seem that sharp. Number two, it's a skill that needs to be learned. And number three, just because you have people skills does not mean that you can sell. In NLP, stories is also called quotes. It's a way to persuade without detection. They put themselves in those shoes. For example, when I'm selling persuasion and influence, I always tell a story of Sarah, and I'll just simplify it for you. She was an entrepreneur. She was following her dreams. All her family and friends told her to pursue these dreams, but after 6 months, no money, no sales, what was going on? Because so many people go out there and try to start a business, they realize they need to learn how to persuade and influence. We worked with her, and in 2 months, she made over $10,000 by learning how to connect, influence, and sell. Now, I abbreviated that story, but the reality is if someone's an entrepreneur, they're not making any money, they're not making any sales, that will ring true to them. Now, I could tell them they need to learn how to sell, they need how to persuade, but a story's more powerful. The key here, if you want your stories to work well and have a greater impact, remember facts alone will not persuade as powerfully as when they're coupled with a few stories. This will strike a chord with your prospects. It is tapping into inspiration, faith, and a person's innermost feelings that will cause them to be moved by a story and to want to do business with you. Pack your stories with authenticity, passion, and humor. Make sure they're straightforward and not confusing. A story that confuses will not convince. Let your prospects mentally participate in the stories. Like I said, the studies show stories grab attention. They can be bored out of their minds. They're looking at their watch. Story. They create mental involvement. They simplify complex ideas. They don't get it, but a story will help them get it. It'll trigger emotions, the emotions that you want. Like I mentioned, they persuade without detection, and a lot of times they'll demonstrate who you are. You might want to let them know that you're credible or trustworthy. You might want to let them know that you've authored a number of books. You might want to let them know that you've done this and this or graduated from here. All great accomplishments, and all build your credibility. But if you make a laundry list, cocky, arrogant, condescending. But if you tell them a story, then they can see that you're an honest or credible person, whatever you're trying to get across, if you tell it in a story. Stories answer questions in the audience's mind about who you are and what you represent. Because if you don't answer those questions for them, they're going to make up the answers anyway. Remember, building rapport is a key ingredient for persuasion. And since you usually don't have time to build a trust based on personal experience, the best you can do is tell them a story that simulates an experience of your trustworthiness. Hearing your story is as close as they can get to a firsthand experience of watching you. Because your goal for the prospect is for them to arrive at your conclusions. Remember, you're trying to help them persuade themselves. Your story needs to take them on a step-by-step tour of your message. A persuasive story simplifies your concept so your audience can understand what you're talking about and what you want them to do. We love stories that give us answers to our problems. We accept the answers a story gives us more than you tell me what the answers are. We see this in the courtroom all the time with lawyers. They make the stories so rich in sensory detail that the jury literally sees, hears, and feels the event. The trial lawyer's goal is to make their description so vivid that the jurors feel the client's distress as their own and they're moved by it. The more concrete and specific your descriptive details, the more your story sells. Use specific details. Pull the prospect into the story. Make it real and make it believable. Because when you really look at those stories, try to find stories that are personal. Sure, you can borrow stories. I'm okay with that, but it's so much easier to tell and make a personal story come alive. We're going to talk about that you need to paint the picture, make it vivid and real. Practice it. Make it your own. You should know the story so well you could tell it in your sleep. And there needs to be a purpose to the story. You're not just telling a story to tell a story because it's fun to tell a story. It's fun to listen to a story. There's a purpose for that story. So your story, as you look at it, you have to ask yourself these questions. Does it fit your audience? Is it appropriate? Does it support your message? Is it a story you love, that you've lived, or you've learned from? Is there a character that they could identify with? If I'm telling a story about the king or the president or maybe the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation and they're way down the ladder, they might not relate to it. If they can't identify with a character, if it's not like them, it's not going to be very persuasive. And make sure that story answers their questions. So your goal, depending on your message and what you want to convey, your story can take on a number of different tones or moods. And you have to think about it ahead of time. Do you want to be humorous? We know as salespeople that if you can get them to laugh, if you get them to smile, if you get them in a better mood, they're easier to sell. The resistance goes way down. Witty, spiritual, surprising. Something about teamwork. Is it inspirational? Does it make them contemplate? Does it disturb them, fear? Is it motivational? Is it heartwarming? Is it scary? You choose. What emotion do you want to bring up? So once you figure out that mood, what kind of story should it be? Now, the best kind is a true story that you've lived. We're not making up stories here. If you don't have one, you can borrow one as long as you give them credit. You can look at a folk tale, maybe a myth, heroic tales, ghost stories maybe, Bible stories, fairy tales, oral traditions, love stories, historical accounts, childhood adventures. lot of stories to pull from depending on what you're trying to persuade them to do, what you're trying to sell. There are so many resources. You have so many stories. If I locked you in a room and had you think about it, you could come up with so many incredible stories that you forgot. The knee-jerk reaction, I don't have a good story. You know, you do. Think through it. Look at this list. Pause it here and think about some of these stories that you could use in a persuasive situation. Embarrassing moments, a sad moment, things that happened when you grew up. Things that have happened year by year, dating. Now, who doesn't have a horrible dating story? Or things that happen in school or disappointments. You can take a look at photographs to trigger memories or victories or failures. Family vacations, travel, sports, and the workplace. Hobbies, heroes, journals, diaries, defeats, overcoming obstacles are all different resources. If none of those work, go to the books. Go to the internet. Look at movies. Friends, family, observation, YouTube. All great resources. My good friend Mark Victor Hansen has created Chicken Soup of the Soul along with Jack Canfield. Those stories go through rigorous tests, and only the best of the best of the best make it. So if they're in there, they're going to help you out. Give credit where credit's due, but those are all very powerful stories. And there's a Chicken Soup book for anything you want. What I notice between a top salesperson and a mediocre salesperson is their ability to paint the picture. Because remember, I interview people after you've tried to sell them and they've lied to you. Think about it, just looking, more information. And when I ask them, what do they like about this salesperson over this salesperson? It was like listening to a movie. You made things come alive. They could taste it, touch it, feel it. There was generous details. It was vivid and you could capture their senses. You don't say you went to the beach. Pulled over on Pacific Coast Highway, rolled down the window and smelled the salty air. You took off your shoes and peeled off your socks and stepped on the warm sand. And you hear the seagulls playing in the air. The warm sun was just glowing off your body. And you could hear the surf breaking onto the sand. Transport people there. I remember I was doing a sales training and I knew her from another training. And I knew some of her weaknesses. And I was talking about painting the picture and the detail, and you could trigger emotions. You could get people physically ill if you could really paint the picture. And she's all, no, you can't. I'm like, what do you mean? She's all, no, you can't. I'm like, you daring me? She says, yes, I am. Now, I happen to know that she had an experience with a cat leaving a surprise on her carpet that she stepped on, and it squished between her toes. I'll just leave it at that. But in vivid detail, and I won't do it here because I don't want to make you sick, I described, I don't know how to put this, a cat poop smoothie. You know how they mixed it up and the cat hairs got stuck in the straw and the kitty litter at the bottom. I went through a few more details. Again, I won't go into that. And I kept going. It took a couple minutes. Boom, into the trash can. Now, I wouldn't say that's one of my proudest moments or that I should have done that, but it does prove the point that you can trigger emotions. You can trigger a lot of things when you paint that picture. You are the stage. When you tell a story, your body and your voice become the stage. The actors, the costumes, the music, the props. Your voice is a very powerful instrument, especially if most of your business, most of your sales comes over the phone. Pace, tempo are all very important. The faster you speak, you come across as more credible and competent. It's more persuasive. Learn that vocal fillers can destroy your presentations. That decreases your credibility. Pauses can really add a lot of meaning and impact to your stories. A lot of things that you could practice. Record your stories. Listen to it. I know it's not the funnest thing to do, but if you really want to become a master salesperson, you need to learn how to sell with stories. And if you want to get scientific here, there are four parts to your story. There's the setting, the challenge, the problem, the climax, and the resolution. If you don't have these, then the story doesn't come across the way it should. Sometimes it just doesn't seem right. Sometimes it doesn't resonate with the person. Setting's pretty simple. You know, where the story's taking place, the past and the future, what background information do they need for it to make sense so they can identify with the person. The second part is the challenge or the problem. When there's a challenge, it generates interest and suspense. The audience is drawn in to wonder what the character is going to do about the problem. When there's a challenge that your prospect can relate to, it will really hit home. And of course, the climax, this really grabs our attention. This is the turning point. This is the buildup. You're building all the momentum to this point because it's the cliffhanger. What's going to happen next? It's the make or break moment. What decision did they make? This climax takes them down the right path and gives your story great flow and energy. Then the last is a resolution. You've taken them through this emotional journey. They're paying attention because of the climax. So the resolution is the moment where the lesson is learned, the lesson is taught. This is where your prospect will grasp the message, the moral of the story, the solution to their problem, all happens right here. So ask yourself these questions. When you're looking at adding stories, and you need to, you have to ask yourself, okay, what do you want to accomplish? Is the story going to help you connect with the audience, with the person? What mood is this story going to create? If you're telling a gross story and it makes them sick to the stomach, do you really want that? Of course, I did that to prove a point, but I don't think that's good in a persuasive situation. Will the story increase your credibility and how and why? And will your audience, will your prospect identify with this story? All powerful tools of great salespeople. Last piece I want to add is metaphors, which is a very, very, very short story. We talk in metaphors and similes and examples. It makes it come alive. Remember, we talked about charismatic presidents and they used more metaphors. Remember, when you have charisma, people want to be influenced by you. They want to be sold by you. See, metaphors create instant mental engagement. It starts to make sense. For example, the South in the United States is famous for a lot of different sayings, different metaphors. For example, like a chicken with your head cut off, butter my biscuit, snowball's chance in hell. It's like arguing at the fence post. Well, they're like two peas in a pod. Well, he can't see the forest for the trees, like water off a duck's back. Barking up the wrong tree, like white on rice. Caught me with my pants down. Bitten off more than you can chew, bump on a log, chewing the fat, ruffled her feathers, short end of the stick. I can go on and on. When I say they're like two peas in a pod, it's done. You know what that means. I've created a great example. I could go on 5 minutes about how they're in love and things are going well, but I said it very short and succinct. Remember, most salespeople talk 3 times too much. Metaphors can really help you out here. So how do you apply this? Keep the story simple. No more than 3 to 4 points. Learn to be animated. Paint the picture. Be full of energy. Get your body and voice involved as much as possible. If you can get your audience to do something, to participate physically or mentally or both, that increases the chance it will sell them. It will reduce their resistance. Always practice your stories to somebody else and get feedback. Speak clearly, articulate every word, use pauses, involve their emotions, and you know that will create a lasting impact. So what do I want you to do? I want you to find, hopefully your own, if not somebody else's, a relevant story. You look at your major objection you're getting during your close, during your call to action, and you find a story who had the same objection, and they made the decision to do it anyway, and this is what happened, and this is the problem they solved, and this is how much money they made. And then once you have that story, practice telling it. Paint the picture. If you're driving alone in your car, practice the story. I don't care what other people think. That's a measure of greatness. You learn how to sell with stories, you'll find less resistance, you'll find more people that want to buy from you, and you'll become a master persuader.